listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, November 8th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening, Michael. And as always, I'm glad to be here.
So glad to have you and so glad to have those that join us live. We look forward to seeing you every week and so happy to have you with us. And thank you to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm. Do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, what does it mean to hold a grudge? And Dr. Vicki, I know you have some thoughts on this.
Well, I sure do. After our conversation last week, it just, kind of propelled that way.
When I was talking about the grudge I was holding against my dog Mira because she was barking in the intro.
That too. And, it's a really interesting kind of emotional, psychological moment, I think, that we all have, probably a whole lot of them, I might say, when we have an experience and we don't let go of that negative experience. So when is it that we hold a grudge versus that not forgetting and not wanting to revisit it? And then the emotions behind it. So I've had conversations with a few friends in the last week. And the general consensus, I think, of what everybody's trying to say is when you harbor ill thoughts or ill will. So there's a difference between, let's say you have a negative experience and you don't want to go back and revisit that individual or revisit the experience. It's if you keep thinking about it and having an emotion toward it, and, that's kind of a grudge. So I figured, well, okay. So I looked up the definition of what that word grudge means. And it's a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. That's the noun, the verb. Be resentfully unwilling to give, grant, or allow. And I think in the verb sense, that's that gray zone, Michael.
Yeah.
I think it's that, do we let someone back into our lives if they want to talk about a past injury and make it right? But the grudge may not allow us to, you know?
Yeah.
So, and this is where, to me, it's such an open discussion about those little tiny windows of our emotions about when it is we hold a grudge.
I feel like the definition should have had a picture of a cat next to it. Oh, there's Mira.
And a dog. I know. So I've had people in my life, let's say, for instance, I have a blood family I'm estranged with. And, I would say honestly, for a lot of years, it was the feeling of, it wasn't a grudge. I had to analyze, even in this past week, it was the feeling of being dismissed. So a number of years ago, I had a cousin call me and say, come to the family reunion and the barbecue. And I said, well, y'all don't like me on the best of days. Why would I come to the barbecue? And she said, why are you holding a grudge? I'm not. It's just nothing good happens for me at the family reunions, you know. Yeah. And thinking I have issues, I just didn't want to go. Because in my experience with the family, yeah, I've always been, you know, the punching bag. I could be 1,000 miles away and still get blamed for something I wasn't even there or didn't know about. And I know that sounds wacky, but that's the truth of my history with this family. So I'm not going to go. And they thought I had a lot of issues and I was bearing a grudge. And let's say at that moment I had a lot of emotion come up, but I wouldn't wish any of them ill will.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It does.
I don't wish them ill will. I just don't want to be around you.
and there's a big difference and a very real difference.
Exactly. And as the years have gone on, and I am at this age here now, I don't feel anything. My life is not poor for not having them in my life. But I can still think of other people. No, I don't want them in my life. A number of years ago, I was invited to, a football viewing at a friend's house. And there was one of the guests. Ooh, she was a snobby kind of girl. And a lot of very insulting toward renters and insulting toward people. And I tried to dismiss that. You know, it's like there's another side. And she was very quick. And later I told my friend, I said, that is one hostile, snobby woman. Don't invite me back. And since then, my friend has thought I held a grudge. And I've talked to her about that. I said, I don't hold a grudge. I just don't want to be around her. I don't like her. And nothing good comes from being around her. It's not a bad feeling. I just think she's nuts. So, So in being a clarity that way, I don't hold an ill feeling. However, there is a fine line here, Michael, that there are a couple of people. I have an estranged son as well. There's a history. I absolutely do not bear any grudges toward my son at all. There's no ill feelings, no ill will. He just didn't like me. He got caught up with the evangelists, blah, blah. And he has tried to reach out a little bit, but I know better than to jump in. I just kind of let it ease in. And I haven't seen him in over 10 years. But he contacted me. He showed me pictures of his kids this year. And I think, well, that's nice. And I said, well, they're growing up. And that's all I hear. And it gets dropped. And I thought, if he did reach out, this is where there's a fine line of a grudge. And I have to really dig deep even in myself. Because if he wanted to come back in my life, do I just drop it and we all get happy like everything's fine? Or is it holding a grudge when I say we need to talk about this and clear the air?
Yeah.
And does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I think there are a lot of healthy distinctions that are being made in this story and in these discussions. I think that, you know, there's truth to the, I think it's an old parable. Dr. Edward had put in chat, holding ill will or grudge against someone is like drinking poison and expecting for the other person to die. And yeah. I think that's where it comes into play, where you can move on, but it doesn't mean you always have to forgive. And I know we're kind of playing a battle of semantics here, but
is forgiveness?
Yeah. That's, saying
that's
everything's
a big
okay?
Question. I see. I think forgiveness came from a religious context to forgive. I think it's more about giving to myself. It's not about forgiving someone else as they are who they are.
Yeah. I think, you know, you can look at the very basic idea of forgiveness. I mean, obviously there had to have been a concept of forgiveness if you, you know, stepped on somebody's foot 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 years ago, you'd still say, sorry, or the version thereof, and ask for, forgiveness in that sense. So, no worries. Not a problem. So I think there's a few different levels. And if we're talking about forgiveness against a sin, that's a whole can of worms.
Well, Dr. Mike has asked a good question in the chat. Is wishing for revenge the same thing as a grudge? I have to think it kind of, there's a weave in there. I'm Scorpio, but I'm not a Scorpio out for revenge. I never have been. I don't wish ill will for anybody. But boy, have I said, oh, karma's going to bite you in the, and like, I've never thrown the first stone. But I'll tell you, somebody throws like 20 stones at me, I just stop it. Like, it stops, and you get what you get. But I don't wish for revenge. There's a lot of vengeful people. Revenge or vengeance, I think, equals in the grudge in wishing for ill will.
What's that term? Is it Schadenfreude? Schadenfreude? The idea of taking pleasure in somebody else's troubles? I can't recall, but I think that a lot of that goes around. And even though it's a German word, I think it's kind of universal to a lot of people in a lot of different cultures. And I see the distinction. And I think, who doesn't love a movie where, the antagonist gets his comeupance? It feels good. It makes you root for the protagonist and things like that.
True. Well, Dr. Zach has said a grudge is like withholding forgiveness, whereas revenge is like you want them to suffer. And thanks for that, Zach. There is a distinction in that and wishing that sufferance of, I don't know. It's that, but does the grudge come first before the revenge in holding a grudge? I think there's a partnership. And Jerry is saying, isn't forgiveness an intentional decision to let go of resentment and anger? Mm-hmm. And I agree with that.
That comes back to, because it's all about definitions and how we define words for ourselves. I think of forgiveness as saying, everything's okay, that, I think that some actions can't be absolved. And I think that it's important to move on. And to leave all of it in the past, it's like you were talking about earlier, the idea that it's not that I'm holding a grudge against this person, I just don't want to be around them, It's that kind of idea with a situation. You're not holding on to it, you're not making it a part of your life,
I do have an issue with I never forget. Because to me, if somebody has been capable of an ill will in the past are capable again. You know what I'm saying? And look, very few people do 180s in their life. And it's possible. Absolutely. People can do amazing things. But that past capability is still there. And so I think that I'm one who doesn't forget. So my relationship, if a trust is broken, and I think this is where another, facet of this comes in. If a trust is broken, it doesn't mean I can't be civilized with somebody. It just means that there's going to be a certain withholding of, in other words, where we could have had deeper conversations before, now we're going to talk about muffin recipes. That's what I'm saying.
Muffin recipes can be deep.
Yeah, I know. Dr. Mike has said, quote, I think wishing for revenge and holding a grudge are related concepts, but they're not precisely the same. Both involve feelings of anger, resentment, and a desire for retribution, but they differ in intensity and duration. Yes, I totally agree with that. Thank you for that. Dr. Zach has said, I think you can forgive someone and still choose not to associate with them or to trust them. Absolutely. I agree. Dr. Tabitha has said resentment is the feeling we have been wronged by someone else, and holding a grudge is the belief that we can feel better when we've shown the other person how angry we are. And that's a quote from Carrie Crowick book writing. Jerry is also adding in here, I'm right there with you, but never forgetting. I can forgive all day, but I'll never forget. So I think that I think each of us in our own evolution really needs to check in with ourselves and feelings we have when we feel we've been wronged. And I think that really is kind of the bottom line, and what are our feelings. Mm-hmm. And if we do wish an ill will for somebody, man, we got to check in with ourselves. Because, you know, it's like, ooh, that's not cool. You know, to me, I just sit back and say, whoa, it looks like they're going to hit a bus. And I go, okay. You know, because I didn't create that. It's their bus.
Yeah.
They're in traffic.
Their comeuppance.
And that's not, I don't feel anything about it. It's not revenge. It's not anything. It's just, well, that's kind of cause and effect, you know. And this is how, and I don't mean to be cold, and I don't mean to be callous. It's just kind of the way it is. A past relationship, total narcissist, and yes, folks, I've met them and made some not so good decisions in my life. Total narcissist. A few years after he and I had broken up, somebody told me he'd had a heart attack, and I said, oh, is he dead? And they said, well, that's cold. I didn't mean it to be cold. I just thought, huh, well, there's one less narcissist on the planet. and it wasn't with a feeling, except to me it's more factual. And I'm viewed in that moment as someone who is cold or vengeful, but I didn't feel that. It's just, this is an ugly human being who created a lot of pain for a lot of people, and if he's gone, that's a good thing in my view. And no, he didn't die. So whatever, carry on. And I don't feel anything about that either. I just found it interesting that somebody thought I should know in the first place, because I didn't care. And is that being spiteful or no, I don't feel spiteful. It's just, if it's somebody who is capable of really bad things, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, I get that. And I think that when it comes to relationships, you know, especially difficult ones, there's a lot of complex emotions there. You know, like I would think as an outsider, it's noteworthy, you know, whether you care or not per se, it's noteworthy.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. I take life in a certain way that it's against the grain of a lot of people. I know that. But to me, you get to a certain age too. We're old. And you just say, I'm old. And, you know, comes a time, if there's anything serious or whatever, I'm going to get a DNR. That's cool. People go, oh, you're going to what? You know? And I go, we're all going to die. Oh, how can you talk like that? Because it's a fact. We're all going to die.
True.
And when somebody says 68 and you're so young, I go, since when?
Since I had a 104-year-old client I work with, but it's all relative.
It's all relative. And, you've got many years ahead of you. And I say, oh, I hope not. Well, how can you? No, I mean, if I'm like this, I'm fine with it. But, the odds are not in that favor. You know, I mean, any number of things can happen. So it's more, I approach things in, I think, a more realistic way, a more factual way. And it's not about being emotionally attached to it, but already having worked through, doesn't mean I'm not emotional about it. It's just I've worked through the emotion to come to the conclusion that, well, getting old, we're going to die.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's simple. You could also look at it as a form of acceptance.
And I think that an attitude toward people, if I know that, look, I hear about a guy who's in jail for a triple murder and he got killed in jail, and I go, oh, well, You know what I mean? It's, I don't hold a grudge against him for anything. It's right. just, it's, oh, good. Okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get what you're talking about. And that's that, coming back to the very natural and very human reaction that we have, you know, when we're watching that movie and, the person that's been doing wrong and, you know, been scheming and been very deceitful and duplicitous the entire movie. You know, they get their comeuppance yeah. and karma is paying back retribution. You know, you cheer that. And I think it's because innately we do want to see a relative sense of order and justice in this world. Of course, that means so many different things to so many different people. Mm. Which, again, you know, the idea of, you know, so a lot of people feel wronged, and then a lot of times you have to ask, were they wronged in the first place, or do they have an inaccurate perception? Do they have, you know?
You know, I want to thank Tabitha for this comment. Now, Dr. Tabitha, everybody.
Yes.
No. She was told by her students the other day, I don't think you could hate anyone. And she said, I had to agree, but someone else said, you hate your ex-spouse. She replied, I really don't. They hurt me, but I don't think about them anymore, and they definitely aren't worth my time in hating. And so when you go into that neutral place, like if Tabitha, I'm with you on this, because if you heard of something bad happening to your ex, you just shrug it off. And if somebody said, oh, doesn't that hurt your feelings? No. Like, well, do you want to go to the funeral? No.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's being in a more neutral place. But getting back to, I think, what's really important for each of us in our relationships, you know, in healing, knowing when we can heal something with an acknowledgement of who we've become and change and how we see the past versus how we see the now, and giving each other an opportunity to be in this moment, but also acknowledging the past. I think my issue, and maybe this is me holding a grudge against life, and I'm okay with that, but if we can't acknowledge something of the past in behavior, to me, there is no healing because there is no ownership. When there's no ownership, they're absolutely capable of doing it again.
Yeah, there's no growth.
And I've had to take ownership of a lot of dumb things I've done in my life. And, you know, a lot of people I've talked to, I said, I am totally willing to say I was stupid. And that's just the bottom line. I was in that relationship and I was stupid. That was just stupid, stupid. There's no analyzing. There's no figuring it out. It was, I was in a stupid moment and end of story. And when I acknowledge that it was just a dumb time, I wasn't thinking clear, I don't have to analyze this. I'm just taking responsibility for my own life and I move on. I'm not going to get into this big drama of he did, I did, his part, my part. It doesn't, no, it's just, you know what? I wasn't in my right mind. And I can analyze it if I want to and take the little parts of it and say, yeah, those are things I need to know. But I'm not going to hold a grudge. If the grudge should be there, it's against myself.
Yeah. You know?
Not anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's just so much lost energy and putting all of the effort and the time into maintaining that grudge and that resentment and that anger. Anger is very draining. It's very exhausting. You know,
sorry, go ahead.
There's been some great chat, and you know, one of the comments Dr. Zach had thrown in is, it's important not to take life too seriously as no one gets out alive. Now, I love that because it's very similar to a phrase my grandfather always said, my dad continued. It's, if you take life too seriously, you won't make it out alive, which, you know, it's just, it's, life is full of absurdity and challenge, and, you know, all too often, the person that we're angry at, they were hurt by somebody else, and it's a perpetual cycle. And you also have to ask, you know, when do you want the cycle to end?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, here's a simple thing. A friend of mine just lost her husband, who had been married before, nasty divorce, two kids. He has not seen his daughters in over 20 years. He passed away this summer. He left a little bit for each of his daughters in his will, and that was that. The rest went to the now wife. It's just turned out that those two daughters, who he had not seen in over 20 years, have appeared and are challenging the will. And so my now friend is saying, no, that's not going to happen. And so there's an issue. They were acknowledged. They were given something. And that's all. But so she doesn't feel anything about it. Except she might appear like she holds a grudge. There was plenty of opportunity for dialogue. They're now like 30 years old. They have not ever reached out to their dad. He has, through other relatives, made it clear that the door is open. They never walked through, but now that he's gone, of course, now they want the money.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
So I think that it's fair to say that's when you could, okay, you know, this friend of mine holding a bit of a grudge might be warranted.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, this is not good. So nothing good is going to come out of this if we let them, you know what I'm saying? So I think there are situations in life that we have to be wary of, that the word, but she doesn't wish them ill will. It's just she is holding the memory of her husband in check.
Right.
So, you know, it's that ill feeling of, no, you can't come in here. Sorry, here's the line. So, again, I think each of us has situations or people in our lives who want back in, who knock on the door, who, you know, we're in a situation now. You know, you just kind of have to look at it. I appreciate you, Dr. Mike. I really do. He said in the chat, well, both wishing for revenge and holding a grudge involve negative emotions and a desire for some sort form of retribution. The former implies a more active and immediate intent to seek revenge, whereas a grudge can be long-lasting, passive feeling of resentment. And he adds in there, if it's not life-threatening, it's just not important. And
yeah, very true.
I heard a line the other day, if you don't think it's going to be important in 5 years, why are you giving it 5 minutes now?
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of in line with that. And,
you know,
but I appreciate your being so, you know, succinct about that, Mike. It's important for us all, I think, to look at these things in ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes me think a lot about, you know, that phrase, you know, if it's not going to matter to us in 5 years, why are we giving it 5 minutes? There is a personality type that we all know that just thrives on drama and gossip and just the excitement of that. And I think a lot of people are surprised when others don't want to participate in that, you know, when people you don't want to go to the funeral of this person that you left behind long ago. And it's like, you don't want to participate in the drama surrounding this. You don't want to have a little story that you can put on social media, you know, something like that. And I think a lot of people get caught up in this, the dramatic, you know, reality TV version of our lives. And it's not a good thing. And it's very fake to me.
Tabitha said that she lives in a small town and it lives on gossip. And, and that's another one of those toxins, you know, where that can involve the consequence or, you know, the outcome of a grudge when there was never a pain in the first place. And, you know, it's like,
yeah, perceived
they said,
slights.
And that's gossip is nasty.
It is. And it's, you have to acknowledge that there are, you know, real victims in this world, but it's also become somewhat of a cottage industry for people to feel victimhood. I think an easy call out for doing this in a bad faith kind of way is, you know, there's a almost industry of men and young men online that are perpetually, victimized, or they're playing the victim. They're always aggrieved. There's always a perceived slight. You know, it's the women they want won't date them, or things in the world are not going the way they want, or there's always somebody that's holding them down. And a lot of times these are from some of the more privileged classes, socioeconomic, if not otherwise. And it's just, you're looking for something to have a grudge about. You're looking for something to feel victimhood about, to feel aggrieved about. And that is some of the most toxic behavior I can envision.
Oh, I tell you, there's a lot of that going around. I want to have clarification with Dr. Mike, who, and I was talking about my friend and the stepdaughter showing up, and he says that's greed, not grudge. Greed on their part, grudge on her part. A grudge of them, not contacting their dad. She's very in love with her husband. I mean, he was a good man. He, everybody's got their quirks and their idiosyncrasies, but he was really a good man, and a huge funeral for all the people who loved him very much. So could she feel a grudge is kind of my point too, is, and not to wish them ill will, but to draw a line to say, no, you're not getting more than that.
Right.
It's just a clarification in there. So I think that that's, again, I'm going back to, anybody want a card, please. See, you just got ahead of me there, Mike. threw it in the chat. Anybody want a card, please put your name in the chat. I think these are good conversations for us to have in going deeper into analyzing how we feel. And, it's like you feel something, to resentment towards somebody. Do you wish them ill will? No, I just resent what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be there again. And again, having that clarification so you know in yourself, emotionally how you're evolving. I'm changing all the time too, so who knew? Keep learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a difficult topic to tackle because, so much of this is based on different people's definitions, and how you feel can be so complex. You can have so many feelings that are competing for attention at the same time when it comes to how you feel about a situation, a person, actions, and dogs that bark. It's all very complicated. So you're right. It is that time of the evening, and it has been a great discussion, as always. I've been happy to sit back and listen a bit more and contemplate and think. And
are you saying I talk too much, Michael?
No, I'm saying I don't talk enough. But I think we're all the better for it, so no worries.
Well, we're going to start off in our cars. And for those who are newcomers or in the archives, Michael selects a inner oracle self-discovery card developed by Dr. Doug Kelly, and I do a supporting tarot card, and then we see what comes up.
Oh, I'm just listening to some horrible chain of events that's going on in my kitchen, but aside from that, we have Jerry up first, and Jerry had put in chat that she's looking for some encouragement, a new medical adventure in life that she doesn't have time for, but she's got this, and I totally believe that you do, Jerry. We're not going to pry, but we are giving you all our best thoughts, wishes, energy, and we will look forward to having you on with us next week, too. So, all right.
Awesome.
Moving on to your card, number 2, esteem and validation. This is in the self-acceptance suit. Let's see. If I ever name the suit, it's because I'm stalling for time. Self-esteem and self-worth is based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, I don't know if this has anything to do with your medical adventure, as you call it, Jerry. It's more about finances and adventures into money and career. So I'm going to say to you, don't let this hold you back from continuing to pursue interests that you have, except that there's obviously an interruption you know, as you say, something to do. Now, having said that, what flashes in my mind is don't ask yourself why it happened. I think sometimes we get a little bit bonkers about, you know, like the Louise Hay stuff. What does this mean? And the New Age thing about, oh, this is a representative of that or this. And, you know, Gabor Mate would say, we like to think we're living in a normal world, but really we're in an abnormal reality and we're bound to have issues in this abnormal reality. So don't take it too seriously. It's obviously something to do. I feel really positive for you, so don't worry about that. But I want you to know you should continue to, you know, carry on with your work is what I want to say. All right. We have Dr. Deb next, I think.
Absolutely. And Dr. Deb, good to see you. For tonight, I have number 34, Take and Release Ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
I got the Ace of Hearts here for you, Deb, and it's just staying true to you. And that's as simple as that. It's a simple, simple message. I think when we've gone through difficult times, it's unpleasant for other people because they don't know what to do and they have the fear of losing you or a fear of, you know, stuff. You're making changes and people don't know what that means to them. You have to continue to live from your own heart and follow your own path. And it doesn't mean dismissing other people's feelings or what they are. It just release what doesn't belong to you and know that it belongs to them and their own feelings. If there's something you can help with, that's good. But stand true in who you are in your own path. So that's what I have to say there. All right, I think we have Edward up next. Michael?
I've been on mute. It happens to the best of us.
I was just going to say.
Dr. Edward, I pulled for you number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they're temporary. Good card, especially for tonight's discussion.
All right, and the Ace of Diamonds. Oh, man, I want to so win that lottery, Edward. You know, like, and, yeah, sometimes we all wish for things to be a little better or not as stressful and cause us, you know, to go into a bit of a dismal moment. And this, to me, is optimism and that things are improving even though you don't see it. Right now, last week we talked about a lot of synchronicity, and I think you're going to see some of that in the days or weeks ahead. So I'm really encouraged by that for you.
All right. What I want to say. I like it.
Tabitha.
All right. And of course we have Dr. Tabitha. I have for you number 4, past, present, and future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. And 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and, move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, Tabitha... The Queen of Spades. So this is, the Queen of Spades is someone who is assertive, comfortable, confident, And look, the equal and opposite is negative, somebody who's too forceful, too aggressive. But past, present, future in that Queen of Spades, you know, that Queen of Swords, is someone who's an overseer. And, you know, being a tough nut sometimes isn't a bad thing. You know, where you have that clarity of mind and going forward as you know to do for yourself and having that assertive energy to do so. You know, I'm thinking like in the world of business, for instance, some people, you know, get in for emotional reasons and don't understand the game of business, because it really is a game. And so when somebody's playing the game, people who are emotional, you know, resent the somebody who's playing the game. And it's like you have evolved in a world and enough to say, oh, I get this game, you know, and there might be others who aren't necessarily on board with that, but you got to do what you have to do, as you know, is your evolution. Again, following the 9 principles of belief. So.
All right. And Wendy. All right. I was just about to ask. Lost track there for a second. But Wendy, for you, I have number 44, attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? The can-do attitude makes it happen.
I get the Two of Hearts, Wendy. I think this has to do with partnerships. Now, not necessarily intimate partnerships, but it could be any kind of relationship that you feel close to and how they're evolving. You know, knowing where you put your boundaries, know how it can evolve. And even in matters of work, someone you didn't think you could trust. Look, this is just off the top of my head. Someone you didn't think you could trust, but now you're learning that, oh, maybe that was just my opinion at the time, and oh, this could actually be a good thing. So attitude and disposition in matters of relationship is you kind of analyzing and evolving those relationships. That's what I feel like for that.
Good message.
So we have Kevin. And Kevin, I want to thank you very much. Last week, Kevin felt that the cards were very helpful for him. And I hope you don't mind me saying he had an estranged daughter contact him, and he was very glad for that advice. And so I want to thank you for that feedback, Kevin, and that's a very personal thing, and I totally get it, you know. And again, my heart goes out to you. I have an estranged son, so, you know, it's maybe different stories, but in essence, in the heart, it's much the same. So what have we got for Kevin tonight, Michael?
Well, tonight, Kevin, I have for you number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
You know, you've, look, the Fool is the first card of the tarot, certainly of the major arcana. And the essence of the Fool is the beginning, new adventures, new start points. You know, the negative of it is don't fall off the cliff, right? So in discovering a truth in matters that are at hand, it's saying absolutely be adventurous, explore, but don't go off the deep end. Like, don't go all in before, you know, I would say relationships and matters of business, no matter what, it's you give and see what comes back. You give and see what comes back. Sure, give 2 or 3 times and see what comes back. And that's the measure of what's fair and equitable in order to find what's truthful in each and all of our relationships, and again, even in things that we invest ourselves in. So I think that this is a message for you, Kevin, that's very positive. and certainly, you know, give it your best effort. Wendy says that you had this card back in March, the 3-8, and Dr. Kevin, also had repeating cards last week. So, look, the odds of repeating cards, you got to think about that. Synchronicities. Some of us have really odd connections, and sometimes connections we can't describe and we're not going to be able to figure out. I have an old friend, Shelley. Last Sunday, we got on video messenger and we did this tarot game that we haven't done. I call it a game. We haven't done for a long time. And we ask a question, whether it's something political, a world event, something out there. And the most bizarre thing is we each pull up very similar cards. Now, there's 78 cards in the tarot. It's bizarre. So how does that happen? I've never had it happen with anybody else. We used to. We hadn't seen each other in many years, reconnected. And I said, hey, do you want to do this again? We used to do it sitting at a kitchen table. But now that we do it via, you know, we're 1,000 miles apart and, you know, we can do it by a messenger and asking, and we try to do something in our experiment that's neutral. In other words, we're not attached to the outcome. We can't be attached to the outcome. So we ask about certain world events or political events. And the fact that our layouts are similar, and very often I'll have three cards in my layout, she has three cards in her layout that are exactly the same, and mind-blowing in the same position. And so I think about those kinds of connections that each of us have and how we in this human state are learning to evolve. There's so much to learn. It boggles my brain. The older I get, the less I know. That's absolutely true. So don't hold on to beliefs. Don't hold on to emotions, because we're discovering things. And do I understand why Shelley and I can do that? I have no idea, because I've tried it with other people. It doesn't work. I haven't had that connection with anybody else psychically to be able to do that. So it's like this is an adventure of something that's mind-boggling. But I like mind-boggling.
Mind-boggling is good.
It is. So, you know, when it comes to our discussion tonight, I hold hope for all of humanity. But in reality, I don't like a lot of people. And it's not about that I don't like the people. I don't like the behaviors. And in the clarity of how I live my life is who I want to associate with, who I do not want to associate with. Mm-hmm. And I want to live my life as truthfully as possible. And I'm always going to be around people I don't care for. It doesn't mean I have to have any emotional, you know, response or reaction to that. I don't have to roll my eyes at them and say, oh, are you stupid? You know, I don't have to do that. It's just people are people. You know, you do have to watch out for the people who run red lights. That's all.
Yeah, and whatever metaphorical equivalent to the situation you're dealing with, but yeah.
I know.
But
great conversation.
It has been.
This is for me, Michael. I did most of it. I'm sorry if I took over most of the talking.
Oh, no, I feel like I have to pay you now or something. But no, I'm happy to have these kinds of discussions. I'm happy to, you know, listen and gain from it and benefit from it and contribute whatever I can.
We're going to have something quite different next week. You want to explain?
Yeah, we're going to have Jerry's going to be joining us, so we're looking forward to that discussion. We always like it when we have when we have our community of the curious, our family that joins us on live. So we're looking forward to that discussion. And
well, we're going to talk about exit points. Came up a number of weeks ago. I have no idea about this exit points. And she said in the chat, exit points and their effect on the human condition. Exit points meaning, is I'm assuming from our previous, you know, kind of chat discussions, is moments where we could have exited the earth. Exited life. So you know, those pivotal moments where you could, you know, die. You know, and so I'm excited because I know nothing about this. Again, learning, the whole learning game here. And I'm excited to talk to Jerry.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. So it's going to be a great discussion. We're looking forward to having her and looking forward to all of you joining us. So as we wrap up another evening, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
Oh, you know, don't let them push you around out there, people. Just carry on your business. You know, there's so much going on in the world, Michael. You know, we just have to do the best we can. That's all. Mm-hmm. Just do the best you can. Live the best you can, your best life, as well as you can, no matter the circumstance.
Good advice always. Well, with that, I encourage you all to join us for our discussion with Jerry next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.